Mitzvah Shin Mem Hei 345. Shelo Nimkor Eved Ivri Al Even Hamekach. You shouldn't sell a Jewish slave on a sale block. It's a word I just made up. Maybe there's a better English word for that. Shelo Nimkor.
Auction block.
Yeah. Okay. It doesn't have to be an auction. It could just be you name your price and then the person either buys it or not. I don't know if they had auctions per se in those times, but yeah, auction block. You're right. That is a more, I guess I based my sale block on the phrase auction block. Shalom nimkor eved ivri kederech shemokhrin ha'avodim kenanim b'hachraza al even hamekach. So it's inappropriate and forbidden in the Torah when you have a Jewish slave and you want to sell him. So you shouldn't put him on an auction block and say, I have a slave here, $100,000, who wants to buy? And people passing by or people who are in the marketplace, you know, are going to look and inspect and, you know, how's he, is he a good slave? Can he do all the work that's required of him? And it's going to be a big degradation to the Jewish slave. So you shouldn't do that. Ela b'hatznea v'derech kovod. That you're supposed to do it quietly and in an honorable manner. So if you want to sell the slave, you know, you should go to your neighbor or put an ad in the paper, something quiet, you know. Find out through word of mouth who's interested in purchasing a slave and quietly discuss your terms.
You advertise in the Hamodia.
You could, sure.
Wait a second. No. The thing, if you're trying to avoid, obviously you have to be able to sell. You have to figure out some method of finding a buyer.
Okay. Right.
Now, if they're objecting to just like the spectacle of, you know, like having slaves chained up in an auction, you certainly have to publicize to some extent or other. You're not going to find a buyer.
Right. That's what I said. They put an ad in the newspaper. Ask around, or eBay.
Even
if he's not there, you could presumably just stand in the marketplace and, you know, tell people passing by, you know, I have an Eved Ivri for sale. Would you like to buy? This is the price. The whole point is making a spectacle of this Eved Ivri. V'chein amru b'sifra lo yimachru mim keres oved. They shall not be sold in the manner of slaves. Shelo yimkareim b'simta v'yamideim al even amekach. He shouldn't go into an alleyway near the Rishus Arabim and put him on a auction block and say, here's a slave for sale, slave for sale. That doesn't go. Shorish mitzvah zo yadua she'ein roi lo la'adam. So nowadays we wouldn't have a problem with the internet and everything. If you want to sell an Eved Ivri, so you just post on Facebook that you have an Eved Ivri, and then the buyers can descend on you. You don't even have to resort, or you use your Amazon seller account to post that you have an Eved Ivri. So you wouldn't even need to go public and put the slave up on the auction block at all. You could do it. We see with the internet. Haredi community is all up in arms about the internet, that it's such a terrible thing. All Jews should be somewhat up in arms about the internet, that's for sure. But you see that in addition to all the terrible things that the internet could do, so this is one thing where it could serve the Tzorech Mitzvah, that it makes observing this mitzvah easier. Okay. Tzorech Mitzvah zo yadua. She'en roi lo l'adam l'hakel b'chvod chaveru afapi sheviyuhu avonosav limacher. So the idea is that you should honor all Jews, even though that he got himself into the position where he had to be sold into slavery. Maybe tomorrow you'll steal something and you won't be able to pay back and the Bezdin will steal you, or you'll become so poor that you have no choice for a livelihood, but only to sell yourself to a fellow Jew as a slave for, again, a limited period of time. Bear mitzvah zo b'kiddushin. So you have to treat the Jewish slaves with respect as is befitting any Jew. Bear mitzvah zo b'kiddushin v'dinei kelulin b'ikara. This is all maseches kiddushin. Vein l'harich b'hem. We don't need to go so long about them because, you know, these mitzvahs that we're going to talk about right now, this mitzvah, the next mitzvah, and a couple mitzvahs from now, they're very subjective. They're not like all these laws like X, Y, Z is mutter. It just gives you the general idea and you have to figure out what is the exact purview of this mitzvah. There are no rules, like if the auction block is two tefachim tall and it's only being viewed by two people, then it's allowed, and if it's two amos tall and it's being viewed by 12 people, then it's usur. There's no specific rules. It's just anything that's considered to be a degradation, a public sale of the slave, would be forbidden. This applies to males and females at a time when the Jubilee is relevant, which has not been for a very long time. That there's only such thing as a Jewish slave when there's a Jubilee year. In the way that other slaves are sold, we know that when Goyim were in the slave trade, such as in the United States South in the 19th century, early to mid-19th century and before, so there are a lot of horrible scenes you see from media about a slave being, publicly displayed on an auction block. Everybody's looking and gawking and bidding. So that's the type of display that we're familiar with from, recreations of these types of scenes or pictures that we want to avoid with the Jewish slaves. Aval min hadome she'ein bo chiyu malkos. But there is probably no requirement of lashes if you violate this. If isha efshe lavar alav mibli maisa. That it's possible to do this without doing a maisa, meaning it's just talking. Just you're walking with the Eved Ivri in the shuk and just start screaming, slave for sale, slave for sale, who wants to buy a slave? That good, and pointing and screaming could potentially be a violation of this, so it's possible to have a lav shein bo maisa. Yeah. No, you're owing someone money does not allow you to sell yourself as a slave. The only way that you sell, that one is sold as a slave for owing money, is if one steals. If you steal money and you don't have enough to pay back right away, so then the Bezdin seizes you and sells you into slavery to this person, again, for the limited period of time. The other way is that if you have become so poor you can't even afford very basic needs, then you're allowed to sell yourself into slavery. But if you just owe someone money as a debt, then you're not entitled to sell yourself into slavery.
So, for example, indentured servants, the sort of came here, right? That would not be allowed. In other words, you want to come here from Ireland or something like that, and you have money to pay for the ship passage. So you make a deal that you're going to go, and the ship captain will basically sell you for 7 years, or it might be to
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, but how much of a slave were you? You had to work for that person for a while, but you weren't.
You were a I mean,
it wasn't pretty.
Well, yeah,
it was part of a business transaction. You wanted, I want a service out of you, so I agree to work for you for a certain amount of time. I don't think that's slavery at all.
You didn't have any choice about it. You had to serve
Your choice to go over to America.
Okay, all right.
It's a regular contract. Again, I have to research exactly more about the terms.
Okay, in other words, So in other words, Eved Ivri is not for a limited period of time, except for Kurt Yovel. In other words,
it is. It's for 6 years.
6 years, right. Same thing, right? The same thing. You basically are selling yourself. You are, required to serve without compensation.
Yes. But the difference is you're not asking the person for a service, and as payment for a service, you're offering your working for him for 7 years. That you owe him money and you have no other choice, so you have to become a slave. So, also, I don't know the exact terms of the indentured servitude, but I would imagine that the Eved Ivri, being a slave, is more of a intense degradation than being an indentured servant. I would say you have less freedom, I would assume. Again, we pointed out in the last mitzvah, before this, the last one we did last week, that there is a prohibition no matter what the circumstances, of using an Eved Ivri for disgraceful types of labor. So one example, I don't think it's ever going to give this, is to ask him to take off your shoes. Where he has to bend down in front of you and take off your shoes, and it's just a little too much. So therefore,
my toenails.
Right, something like that. Cutting toenails, something like that. Something that's really not so pleasant is prohibited. So he's only allowed to do an honorable type of labor. Okay.
Is sweeping floors honorable type of labor?
Sweeping floors, sure.
Yeah.
Sweeping floors, you hire regular people. You don't need slaves for that. Most people, again, I wasn't sure how this would apply. In the olden days when very rich people had valets and maids to deal with all their needs. They used to literally dress them. Mm-hmm. So what is that? I don't know exactly how much. I know they put on their shoes and take off their shoes, but they put on their... they brush off the coat, put on your coat for you all the time, Okay. Mitzvah Shin Mem Vav. 346. Shelo lavod be'eved ivri avodas perech. We should not use a Jewish slave for very intense labor. Shelo navid eved ivri b'avodas perech. Shenemar lo sirdebo b'farech. You shall not serve him what's that? Use him as a slave in a what's the manner of bondage? V'ezohi avodas perech. Perushus ravracha she avodas she'ein la kitzba, meaning something that has no limit. V'chein avodas she'ein adam tzorech la'ela she'asena kidei shel yisbatel hevet. So it's something that is kind of unnecessary. Either it's something where you don't give him an end to it, or that you do it because you just want your slave to be doing something and not to be sitting around playing video games. You shouldn't say, you know, just work on the vineyard until I come back. Just to keep doing it. I'll be back in a while. Just keep doing it until I come back. So that's shelonas and lo kitzba. He doesn't say, you know, like harvest this vineyard. He doesn't say, you know, do it for the next 5 hours. He just said he has to keep doing it and doing it and doing it. And he doesn't even know how to hope for the end. Well, looking at the watch doesn't help him. Looking at how many vines he still has to prune or harvest doesn't help him. He is indefinite. Eliyomerlo avod ad shah ploni so ad makom ploni. Keep doing it till you get to a certain time or a certain place. Even something easy, you think of bondage as really difficult labor, but no, if it's something that's somewhat bechavadik, somewhat respectful, and it's something that has a limit, then you're allowed, even if it's difficult. But even if it's easy, heating up a cup of water. Hey, I'd like some tea now. Make me a cup of tea. So the slave goes to the kettle, fills the kettle, puts it on the stove, lets it boil, brings the tea to the master. The master says, okay, thanks, pours out the tea just because, hey, you look bored. I didn't want you to get too easy. You're my slave, so I want to keep you occupied, so I asked you for a cup of tea. But he knows tzarchlo. So if you don't need the cup of tea, so you shouldn't ask your slave to do it. If you need the cup of tea, so if you want to drink it, so you have a right to ask the slave to do it. So he says this is something really easy. So certainly, if it's something hard and you don't really need it, then you shouldn't ask him to do it. You know, go on the roof and clean the gutters. I just found 3 leaves in the gutters. Yeah, I didn't really need the gutters to be cleaned, but you know, you look bored. So certainly, something that's difficult, you shouldn't ask him to do. Since he gave you the example of things that are easy, and nevertheless, you should not ask him to do unnecessarily. You need it. You need the main thing is you can only ask him to do things that you need. The details of the mitzvah are pretty short, and I wrote down some of them here. But I guess mitzvah zobis charmoni kevos bizman shayovel noeg. Again, only in times of the yovel. Bizman shayovel noeg. Vein lechayev malkos alev lishefshel lavor alev bedibor bilvad mibli maisa. You should not get the penalty of malkos. As I say, for chinuch shita, if it's possible to violate something without a maisa, so you never get malkos for that violation. There's no such thing as a Jewish slave nowadays because there's no yovel. Nikol makom. Roy lo la adam lehizayir beinyan mitzvah zo gam hayom biyos aniyim b'nei vesov lehizayir b'harba. He says, even though this mitzvah does not technically apply to anyone but an Eved Ivri, nevertheless, it's a musar vort. It's teaching you how to behave even, let's say you have a servant that you pay, not a slave, a servant that you pay, you should not treat the servant with cruelty. You should not ask a servant to do unnecessary things. Okay? V'yiten elibo ki ha'osher v'ha'anius galgalu shechozer ba'olam. That richness and poorness, poverty, are wealth and poverty, more elegant English terms. Wealth and poverty is a cycle. So sometimes people start out very rich, and by the end of their lives, they don't have any money left. And some people start out poor, and by the end of their lives, they work very hard, and they amass a fortune. Umei Hashemu, it's besides your own work, it's divine blessing. V'idnenu l'asher yishar be'inov azman, she'yirtze velo yoser afilu rega. Shigam ki yitzbor ka afar kesavit bneu bekarka vignegar kosad imizbor vetova harbe yilo hakol yova menu yachad bechetel Hashem. So it goes to whoever is worthy of it in God's eyes. So even if you amassed a lot of money, you could lose it very quickly if you sin or do something that wants makes God want to take it away from you. So if good stuff will cling to you if you're a good person. So even in terms of your household, in terms of your paid servants, you should treat them in a respectful manner, and you should make them do only things that are actually... So an Eved Kenani, so it's also a good introduction to the next mitzvah. So an Eved Kenani, what happens when a Jew purchases a non-Jewish slave? So in order to become a slave in a Jewish household, that's distinguished from a Jewish slave. So a Jewish slave, that you when you purchase a Jewish person, so... Jewish, you know, nothing. So and in order to become... And if a non-Jew is going to become a slave in a Jewish household, they have to undergo a halfway conversion. That they go to the mikvah, and if they're a male, they get a bris. And not in that order, bris first, and then the mikvah. And they become partially Jewish. To the extent that the males and the females are chayiv in mitzvos like a regular Jewish woman, meaning that they're exempt from mitzvos as seisha as man grama. Even the males don't have to put on tefillin and tzitzis, should not, as a matter of fact, otherwise they shouldn't put on tefillin and tzitzis, they're not chayiv in sukkah, all these things. But they're at that point, they're not allowed to eat, you know, they have to observe all the negative commandments, they have to keep Shabbos, they can only eat allowed to eat kosher, etc. So there's, but they, once they undergo this sort of halfway conversion, so there's no going back to being a non-Jew. That the only way out is to remain a slave in a Jewish household, an Eved Kenani, forever, or the only other option is if that they are released. If they will discuss in this mitzvah how that can happen, that they'll be released from their servitudes, they become fully Jewish.
Isn't that a source of confusion, though? I mean, you're somebody right. Who keeps Shabbos and keeps kosher and so on, but isn't Jewish. I mean
they sort of, they're Jewish, but they have a status of an Eved Kenani.
Can you drink your wine?
They're sort of Jewish. In other words, yeah, they're allowed to, they're not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah. Obviously, yeah, they're Jewish. They have a Kedusha to the extent that they'll be allowed to handle wine, they'll be allowed to cook for you. Yeah, 100%.
So, okay. Oh, all right. So obviously so. So it's almost like the Jews weren't supposed to...
It just means they're not free Jews. Shabbos, right? They're like... What it means is a slave of non-Jewish extraction who has converted on the condition of being in servitude.
Now,
that's the way you might want to describe
it.
They
don't have any say on this, though.
Yes and no.
Well, I mean, I understand. So you go ahead, you go to your local Goyish slave market, you pick out a likely slave, and then you say, okay, I want you to go ahead and have a bris mila and so on. And they say, I don't want to do it. I mean,
then you have to sell them back to Graham. You can wait a year. You try. You wait a year. You have them hang around. You try to convince them to become an Eved Kenani. Mm-hmm. Presumably, one would hope that there were advantages to becoming an Eved Kenani because the Jewish slave owners were nicer than the Goyish slave owners. Okay. But, you wait a year, and if at that point the person does not want to undergo this process, then you must sell them back to the non-Jews.
Supposing you're a very rich person, who are you going to get to do your menial work?
What do you mean?
You can't have the Eved Kenani do it because he's not quasi-Jewish.
No, what do you mean?
Is he allowed to tell you?
No, Eved Kenani doesn't have the status of an Eved Ivri. Eved Kenani, you could do whatever you want. Uh-huh. You're still supposed to be nice. That's part of the Musarvort. So Eved Kenani is not bound by the Yovel. It's only Eved Ivri that's bound by the Yovel. So which is why... Technically, it's possible to purchase an Eved Ivri, Eved Kenani nowadays, but obviously you run into problems of Dina de Malchusa, that slavery is not allowed by, what was it, the 14th Amendment, that the Constitution is not allowed in the U.S., it's not allowed in most countries, so there's no mitzvah to have a slave, so when there's a prohibition of having slaves, so, okay, no slaves.
So I guess a
month. Mitzvah Shin Mem Zion, 347 mitzvahs avoda be'eved kenani le'olam. The mitzvah to serve with an Eved Kanani, or to use an Eved Kanani as a slave forever, and not to release them except under certain circumstances. Shenavod be'Eved Kanani la'olam kilomar shlo neshachar oso la'olam shlo yitzel lecheruskim b'shein v'ayin. There is a special halacha by an Eved Kanani, as we discussed all the way back in Parshas Mishpatim, that if the master inflicts certain types of injuries on the Eved Kanani, so the Eved Kanani goes free. So the examples that are given in the Chumash explicitly are if you destroy the eye or a tooth. If you knock out a tooth or destroy an eye, so then the Eved Kanani goes free, meaning he becomes a full-fledged Jewish person. But it also applies to other body parts. If you knock off a finger, different body parts that if you would damage them, or knock them off, then it would be would also allow the require you to set free this slave. So stuff that body parts that if you knock them out, they don't come back. You shall use them as slaves forever. If you release a slave, an Eved Kanani, you violate a positive commandment. You shall serve with them forever. So it's any non-Jewish person that a Jewish person purchases for the sake of slavery. So why are they called an Eved Kanani? It should just be called an Eved Nochri or Eved Goy. Why is it called Eved Kanani? It's not only Canaanites that can become non-Jewish slaves. It's any non-Jewish person can become an Eved Kanani. So it's because, I guess that was the regular source of slaves perhaps at a certain time, but also because Canaan was cursed at the time of Noah to be a slave forever. Yeah.
Well, wait a second. There's a problem with this because the Canaanim, of course, were conquered, right?
Right. It had to be destroyed. Yeah.
But it's usher though for a Jew to go ahead and to enslave a non-Jew, isn't it? If you have to buy something, or at least according to Archibald here, you know, that in other words, it's necessary in order to acquire an Eved Kanani, you have to actually purchase. They have to become slaves by some other internet recognized means
they have to be certified by the Board of Fair Trade Slaves.
Well, yeah. forcibly take a free human being and make him a slave. Because purchase one, those who by virtue of universally accepted international law are already slaves, or who chose to sell slaves as slavery, according to the Rambam.
Right, so you can choose to sell yourself to slavery. Right, okay.
Okay, so in other words, all right, so Kanani...
The Kanani could say...
So in other words,
hey, you know, we're not having such good luck recently, but maybe if we're your slaves, we'll be better. So here, purchase me as a slave.
So it wasn't that simply they were prisoners of war who were enslaved?
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, that's right. Okay. That's right. Yeah, okay. Athi purchased in some way, right? That's right. Correct. Okay, Avapi Sheparsha Zoshin Stavinu Bali Shtavidem Tadaber B'Kananim is talking about the Kananim. The Gentile nations that are around you. It's talking about the ones who lived in the land of Israel before it was conquered in the times of Yoshua. So that's just a turn of phrase. That was the general, again, availability of slave stock. So it's just called an Eved Kanani, but really, if you would take a non-Jew of any type and they would want to sell themselves into slavery, they would still be called, in terms of the halachic category, they would be called an Eved Kanani. V'chein Yisrael Shebal Shivcha Kananis. So if a Jew, a full-fledged Jewish man, has relations with a non-Jewish maidservant... Again, when we say non-Jewish, we mean of non-Jewish extraction, but who is currently quasi-Jewish. Because we know that in Judaism, the basic status follows the which parent? The mother. The particular status follows the father. In other words, if you're Kohen Levi Yisrael, that follows the father, but in order to be Goyish or Jewish or somewhere in between, whatever your status, your main national status is in terms of halachic status, that follows the mother. So if a non-Jewish maidservant has a child, even if the father is a full-fledged Jew, then the child will be a slave. Even if it's your slave. So you might think that, okay, well, if the master and the slave, so maybe that would be considered his child because it was sort of his slave. And how that would work halachically is a little bit. There are some shittas that hold like this, that if it's your shifcha, then the child is your child and a full-fledged Jew. But if it would be someone else, then it wouldn't be. But okay, that's not the normative sock that the Sefer HaChinuch brings. Then in any event, any child of a shifcha k'nanis is an eved. V'chein, echad min ha'umos shebal shifcha k'nanis, shalanu aria ben eved k'nani. And if your Jewish maidservant has an affair with a non-Jewish man, she's not supposed to do that, right? Because she's supposed to be super frum. So she had her conversion.
Could she marry anybody? I mean, is that the...
Marry an eved, yeah.
Another eved
k'nani. Yeah. So the child would have this quasi-Jewish status because it follows the mother. Shenemar asher holidu ba'artzechem aval eved shelanu shebal achas min ha'umos ein ha-ben eved she'eved ein lo yichus. So if a male eved kanani fathers a child with a non-Jewish woman, so then the child will not be a Jewish slave. The child will follow the mother. The eved has no ichos. Okay. The child doesn't follow the status of the father. Uvigir toshav, kilomar goy shikibel shalavu devodazarav ushochin barzenu shemachar atzmal Yisrael, hare dino ke eved kanani. So you might think that there would be a separate status when there's a gir toshav. So a gir toshav is the pinnacle of Goyish existence, according to the Jewish law, that a non-Jew is going to live in the land of Israel, and he accepts formally on himself to observe the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, and we can be great friends with him and wonderful, just not fully Jewish, but okay, he doesn't want to convert to Judaism, he doesn't want to become Jewish. He says, no, I'm happy with the Sheva Mitzvos, I don't need the 613, thank you very much, but I respect the Jewish people, and I'm going to live here. So you might think that if that person wants to sell himself to you as a slave, so he might have some special status, but no, a non-Jew is a non-Jew, and if he's not fully Jewish, so when he sells himself to you, he will have the status of an Eved Kenani, yeah?
What are the famous story in the Mishnah about how, Tavi, who was needed for a minion, and so they said, okay, we're going to...
You're conflating that. You're right, there's a story. Tavi is a very interesting story. He's going to talk about the needing for a minion in a minute. It's a very good point. But that wasn't the story with Tavi. The story with Tavi, there are a couple stories with Tavi. One was on Pesach, that Tavi asked the four questions, basically, and Rabbi Gamliel continued with the Seder. Yeah, that was one story. But the more famous one that's in the Mishnah is that when Tavi died, so Rabin Gamliel, the owner of Tavi, who was Tavi is like the best slave ever, so Rabin Gamliel accepted consolations. People came to console Rabin Gamliel when his slave Tavi died. So they said to him, Rebbe, hey, you don't do that. You don't accept consolations. Wasn't formally saying Shiva, but he accepted consolations. When his slave, when your slave died, you don't do that. He says, no, he was a great slave. He was a really pious, loyal, wonderful, wonderful slave. So therefore, I am accepting consolations about him. Yeah.
Wait, I thought he was free, though.
He was not free. Tavi was not free. The other story, there's a different slave that was free. That was the same for the Chinuch we'll discuss in a minute.
What do you mean you can't accept consolation? You don't sit Shiva officially.
Yeah, he was.
Suppose your best friend dies, people console you.
Right, you can. Right, but for a slave, you don't. For a slave, you don't. In general,
we don't. I mean,
it's not
done.
You swallow it back.
No, there's a formal acceptance of consolations. Like you sit, and people are coming around, and it's like a shiva visit. It doesn't mean it's formally sitting shiva. Yeah, so you don't do that for a slave unless he's a particularly amazing slave. Yeah, the Mishnah. Yeah, so that's part of the series of Mishnahs that talks about weird things that people did during Avelus, or when somebody died. Rabban Gamliel wasn't officially an Avelus. It says he also, it says that he bathed on the first night that his wife died. They said, Rebbe, you're going to the bathhouse? Rabban Gamliel. They said, Rebbe, you're going to the bathhouse. You're in Aninas, Avelis, whatever you're in. So what's going on? How can you bathe? It's against the laws of Avelis. So he says, no, I'm different. I'm an Istinus. I'm finicky. I get ill. Some people say it means I get ill if I don't bathe, which is the source that nowadays, one of the sources, not the okay. One of the sources that nowadays perhaps the rules of bathing during Avelis should be somewhat more relaxed than they appear in the classical sources, because nowadays people are so used to bathing with greater frequency that it's considered an extreme hardship to strictly follow all the rules that are assumed in the classical sources about bathing during Avelis.
And other people, of course, are less tolerant of their fellow man smelling because they don't take baths, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, also true.
That's part of the whole thing.
No, some people, when they sit Shiva, they don't shower the entire week. Yeah, as we're pointing out on Friday night, so in the classical sources it says that even during the 9 days, you're only allowed, even in honor of Shabbos, you're only allowed to wash your hands, feet, and face in cold water, and some are makel hot water. So what? You know, like, most of us are more makel than that during the week, during the 9 days. So what's going on? So the answer is that nowadays people are used to a much more frequent bathing. And it's not considered bathing for pleasure. It's not considered an appropriate sign of Avelus. And we're all considered to be istinissim. And again, there's precedence for that in the Mishnah. That's not like a new open Orthodox kula that you're allowed to shower during the 9 days, that we assume that the laws were formulated in a way that if it's really just intended to get off dirt and this is the standard that's accepted, so then it's not a problem. But bathing, which is basically just designed to avoid bathing for pleasure.
Luxuriating in a bubble bath.
No, that's not allowed.
That's not allowed. No. You're talking about...
No, during the 9 days nowadays, you're not allowed to go swimming, unless it's for health. You're not for pleasure. You're not allowed to go swimming for pleasure. You're not allowed to take bubble baths. You're not allowed to stand in a long, hot shower, you know, luxuriating under the water. You're not allowed to go to a spa. But you are allowed to take a...
cold shower?
It doesn't have to be freezing cold, but I would say the guidelines I usually give for the 9 days is that the water should be the absolute minimum tolerable temperature, and it should be not any longer than necessary to remove dirt, and soap should only be applied to places that is absolutely necessary to remove dirt, and not because it's not for pleasurable purposes.
There was a court actually in Texas that ruled that prisoners had the right to have a shower every day.
Okay.
So this was cited, in fact, by an article about taking a shower on the second day of Yontov, saying if it's clearly a fundamental human right these days.
I mean, the rules are a little. I mean, the halachic issues at play are different on Yontov than during Avelis type of periods. But yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. So you deal with him for a year. So good. He can become an Evikanani if in the course of that year he decides that he's willing to undergo Mila and Tvila. Tvila is not the hard part, but the hard part is that he has to give up worshiping Avodah Zarah. Maybe he's used to serving all these idols. So he's going to say, wait a minute, I have to stop doing that? You know, that's freaky. I believe that these deities protect me, and now I have to reject them? Yeah. And he's going to become obligated in all the mitzvos that Jewish women are required to do. So that's still a lot. It might not be 613. Not that all Jews are actually required to do 613.
613,000. That's We'll say it. So he said, if during this period of a year where you're trying to persuade, you know, the slave you purchased to become an Eved Kanani, he says, I don't want to, are you allowed to free him without him becoming an Eved Kanani? Basically, he's just somebody who's like a respected Eved Kanani who you have to actually sell him to non-Jew to,
That's a good question. I would think, I have not seen that discussed explicitly. It always says that, like it's about to say in the Chinuch, you're only allowed for a year. You got to sell him off and get rid of him immediately if he doesn't agree to this after a year. So on all the sources, it just talks about selling them back to Goyim right away. But again, since he doesn't have the status of Ganani, if you just want to lose your investment, and you know you just are decide to become humanitarian and you don't want him to be a slave anymore, so it's very possible, yeah. Because you're right, the mitzvah only applies to an Eved Kenani. This mitzvah that never to free them, except for the those if you damage the body parts, so that would be allowed. I mean, right? So that's usher. That's the type of slave they're talking about. You have to use to serve you forever. So Jewish people are the pinnacle of human existence. And the whole point of the Jewish people is to increase recognition of God in the world. They're supposed to be the people who represent God. So it's Jews are supposed to have slaves. Not politically correct. Fine. So we're supposed to so at least have domestic, you know, help, you know. So it's a mitzvah. That's why I like say Chacham Avadia. It's a very famous maisa that the Rabbi Avadia Yosef, you know, at a certain point in his life was really, really destitute. But even during that time, he always managed to scrounge and gather enough money to get his wife help.
It was probably in Egypt.
It was not in Egypt. In Egypt, he was well off, relatively. He was well paid as an official rav in the community. It was after he moved back from Egypt, and he was living in Yerushalayim. It was before he was on the Beis Din in Petach Tikva. It was before when he was just learning, basically. So they were really poor. But nevertheless, he always insisted on getting his wife help because Jews are supposed to have help. They're not supposed to, you know, do all these tasks themselves. Okay. Fine, so you're supposed to have a slave. Oh, so we have to say it. You know, the 13th Amendment is Shmad. We have to have, as Halacha says, we have to have a slave. So, U.S. government, you can't tell us what to do. Okay, no, there's no halachic. There's no halachic requirement to have slaves. Fine. V'im ein lahem avodim min ha'umos akalponim yitzarchu lishtabed b'achim v'lo yuchlu yishtadal b'avodoso baruchu. So, if you don't have a goyish slave, you're going to end up having a Jewish slave. So that Jewish slave is not the most ideal situation because it says avodayhem that the Jewish people are supposed to be slaves of God and not slaves of other Jews. So if you don't have goyish slaves, so you end up having to have Jewish slaves, so that won't be good. So that's why the Torah tells us that we're not supposed to free the Eved Kenani, because they are the ones who are, it's better serving them. In other words, the fact that they became a Jewish slave was a step up. A slave in a Jewish household was a step up for them. They halfway converted to Judaism. So it's good for them that they don't have to worship Avodah Zarah. They're all forbidden to worship Avodah Zarah. They have all these mitzvos. They don't have to work on Shabbos. They're not allowed to work on Shabbos. Just imagine if they remained a slave in a goyish household. They have to work 7 days a week with no rest. So here you have Shabbos. So it's good for them. It's good for us. It's a win-win situation. So once these people are on the one hand not fully goyim anymore, and they're not going to worship Avodah Zarah. Otherwise, if you had slaves who could just practice their religion and didn't have to observe any of the mitzvahs in a Jewish household, that would be really bad. It could cause a lot of problems. And so since they become halfway Jewish, so they're an appropriate fixture in a Jewish household, but they're not fully Jewish. So therefore, we should use them forever and not have to resort to Jewish slaves, because Jewish people are really supposed to be doing other things besides being slaves. It says right afterwards, you're not supposed to use Jewish slaves if at all possible. So you'll all be able, all Jewish people, be able to focus on learning and spiritual pursuits, and won't have to be in slavery. So what about the thing that's missing here? So why can't you just pay workers? Why does it have to be a slave?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a safer, I don't know. It's an odd presentation, but okay.
Cost too much.
Anyway, okay. We'll talk later. Yeah.
Sorry.
Fine. So.
Okay.
The Hazir Shalo Shavu Hazir Shalo Shtabed Bavodas Perech Beved Ivri. Even though, as we said in the last mitzvah, so you're not allowed to force your Eved Ivri to do unnecessary labor. Shivim panim laksuvim. So this also could be interpreted as saying, no, we're not supposed to really have Eved Ivri at all because we're supposed to be doing spiritual pursuits. We're supposed to, a Jewish household should really just employ Avadim Kananiim. Umiyos yisod ha-mitzvah kidei sheyirbu b'nei adam b'avodas boram barachu. So since this is that saying that the Jewish people should just be focused on worshiping God, hitiru chachamim zichronam levracha, here's your freeing slaves issue. La'avor al mitzvah zo b'chol eis shebitol mitzvah zo yegorim le'mitzvah acheres. So they allowed you to violate this mitzvah and free an Eved Kenani when your violation of this mitzvah will lead ultimately to the performance of more mitzvos. What does that mean? Ba'afilu bishvil mitzvah derabanan imhi mitzvah derabin. Even if for a mitzvah that's sort of rabbinical in nature, if it's a public type of mitzvah, kiyon shlo yasar b'vizekneses u'srichim l'shachar Eved l'ash l'minyan. There's a story in the Gemara in a couple places that one of the Tanoim came in. Anyway, a rabbi, I remember the name of the rabbi in the times of the Gemara, came into shul and he found that he was number 9, but conveniently he had his slave with him. So on the spot, he freed his slave in order to make the minyan. Okay?
He needs to be that wealthy.
So wait a second, that makes him Jewish?
Yeah, when the slave, Eved Kenani is freed, he becomes Jewish. Yeah.
Oh. Fully Jewish.
Yeah.
And he didn't bite his ear off or anything?
No, Star Shichur is more expeditious. Okay. Ve'al yiksha alecha ve'ich nidcha mitzvah zeh so deraisa bishul mitzvah derabanan. How could it be that he violated a mitzvah deraisa, freeing his slave, in order to perform a mitzvah derabanan, which is davening with a minyan? Ki mipnei shiyasod ha-mitzvah inu ala kidei l'harbos avodoso baruchu. It's like darshin and taima dekra. So you observe the mitzvah in accordance with this presumed reasoning behind it, which is very unusual. Achar shebashichru, achshav nase, it's mitzvah. So because it was not just a release of the slave, but rather it caused the mitzvah to be able to be performed. Ve'ot shegamu mizraba begufo b'mitzvah shle yachayev kodem hashichru. So also, a contributing factor is that when you free a slave, so now he's going to do more mitzvahs, now he has to put on tefillin, and now he becomes fully Jewish. He has to do all the mitzvahs that men are, if a male slave, that Jewish men are required to do. So, okay, but that applies to any situation. It doesn't apply just if you free your slave at any time, so he's going to do more mitzvahs. Okay, but it's a contributing factor over here. But with these two reasons, that's just the received tradition of Chazal regarding this mitzvah, is that you're allowed to violate it if it will ultimately result in the performance of more mitzvahs. Okay, continue next time.